Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to just be singing Christmas songs and with the CD. So, hope you don't mind that. But anyway, we had kind of a hectic week with the other choir and all that, getting ready for that, and you know, a lot of stuff was going on. Anyway, so first song is going to be, it says Prepare the Royal Highway, but it's not. It's going to be O Come All You Faithful, and it's a 283 in your hymn book. And please sing along.
Do verses 1 through 3.
Yep.
1, 2, and 3.
Welcome to worship this morning. We're in the season of Advent. The first Sunday we lit the peace candle. Last week we lit the joy candle. Today we light the hope candle. And in light of the tragedy that happened in Connecticut, I think it's appropriate that we fall back on hope. The hope of the promise of the coming of the Christ child. The hope of the promise of the coming of peace in the lives of those who have been so interrupted this week. What a tragedy. I got a phone call this week from someone saying, Pastor, where is God in all of this? Where is God in this tragedy? And I thought a moment, and it came to me that God was in the lives of the teachers that put themselves in front of the children. God was in the first responders and the firemen who were the first ones on the scene to take care of all the triage that needed to be done. God was in the presence of those parents and the village that surrounded the hurting families and the hurting people with love. And God's promise is that He will be there, and He is there. And that's where we find God, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of evil. We live in some strange, strange times. And so we have joy, peace, and hope lit. Maybe that's where we have to put ourselves in the presence of hope in difficult times. Let's keep all those people in our prayers these days. A couple of announcements. This is the last Sunday where we have two worship services for a while. Next Sunday is the 23rd. We only have one worship service at 10 o'clock. Coffee served at 9 o'clock or 9:15. I'm going to beat you, Dick. And then Christmas Eve, two services, 3:30 and 5 o'clock, and then one Christmas Day celebration of Holy Communion at 10 o'clock. So the schedule's on the board outside. The other thing is, if you haven't picked up your offering envelopes, they're on the table in the fellowship hall, so please feel free to pick those up today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hope that comes to us with that reminder of hope is the promise of life everlasting. We pray your Holy Spirit might be present in all those who are hurting and suffering, not only in Newtown, but family members near and far. Be with those counselors and first responders and all the others who can't get beyond the pain and the suffering they experience today. This situation is not dissimilar to what Jesus' family found themselves in, 2,000 years ago, when the firstborn were murdered by Herod. People were running and hurting and lost in those days as well. As they called upon you for help and hope, so we call upon you for help and hope to make sense of a tragic situation. Send your Spirit today as we hear your word and say our prayers. Send your Spirit today as we gather around your holy table. For we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn 270. Rise and turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess together the words that are in the dark print. God, we have heard the voices of the prophets but we do not listen to their message. We have seen the signs of your coming, but we are distracted by the glittery illusions of materialistic society. It is late, and now we realize the foolishness of our selfishness. God, we need a Savior. In your mercy, we ask you to hear the prayers of our hearts and forgive our sins. Let's take a moment for silent reflection. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Christ is come, and Christ is coming again." The God of Advent has fulfilled the promises of the ages in Jesus Christ. In Christ we are God's forgiven people. Praise God for the forgiveness of the Christmas Savior. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer of the day. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, we're going to be singing Away in a Manger, and that is 277 in your red hymn book.
Sunday is from Philippians chapter 4. Despite being in prison, Paul is remarkably upbeat as he writes this letter. Here he urges his friends in Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns, with the hope that they will experience God's joy and peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the psalm for today is from Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. Please respond in the bold print, and where there's a bold R, respond with the refrain, "In your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might, and has become my salvation.
With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
And you will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim this name is exalted.
Sing praise to the Lord, who has done gloriously. Let this be known on all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel."
In your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Advent is found in the third chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 17th verse. John the Baptist heralds the Mighty One who is coming. John teaches that preparation for God's reign is not a matter of identity, but of bearing fruits of merciful justice, radical generosity, and vocational integrity. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. And be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want to give you good news. In the midst of the tragedies of Newtown, Connecticut, the hurt and the evil that appeared, I need to give you some good news. It's good news any time of the year, this message, but it's especially good news at Christmas time. And the good news is this: you and I were made for joy. You weren't made to fret. You weren't made to worry and think dark thoughts. You are made for peace and love and light and joy. Stories told of a woman who always wanted to travel through England, and so she wanted to ride a train through the English countryside. One day she got her wish. Her dream came true. She flew from the U.S. to London, got on the underground train there, and started on her trip. However, after a short time of her excursion, after she got out of town, she started fretting about the windows and the temperature, and she complained about her seat assignment and started rearranging her luggage and so on. To her shock, she suddenly ended the journey. She was there. And with deep regret, she said to the person meeting her, "If I'd known I was going to arrive so soon, I wouldn't have wasted all my time fretting so much." That's the story of so many of us. We fret and fret and fret. We get to the end of our lives, and we realize that we spent so much time fretting over so many things, complaining about this and about that, yet life was passing us by so quickly. We didn't realize we had forgotten to live. And so let me say it again. You and I were made for joy. You weren't made to fret. You weren't made to worry and think dark thoughts. You were made for peace and love and light and joy. And so we read the same the words of St. Paul as he writes in this lesson to the Philippians. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known, made evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." The amazing thing is that when St. Paul wrote this lesson, he was in prison. In effect, he was on death row. He knew he probably wouldn't get out of there. It takes a special kind of faith to proclaim joy in such dire circumstances. In fact, the stories are told that he was chained to a Roman soldier day and night. And yet he writes with a kind of faith that comes from living in the center of God's will and God's love. You and I were made for that kind of joy. And in this time of pain and suffering and hurt, that's what we call upon, our faith in God, the promise of His love and joy. As I've been thinking about this lesson in the midst of this tragedy this week, I've been wondering what it is that robs you of your joy. What is it that makes you worry about your joy? Is it worrying about the future, what's going to happen? I mean, that's the root of much of our anxiety in the world today. I think we're worried about our futures, you and I. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if some nut's going to break in here and break out a gun. We don't know what's going to happen to our kids or to our grandkids. We don't know what kind of sickness or disease we're going to have. We're told that the advice columnist Ann Landers used to get about 10,000 letters a month about people's problems. She was asked, "What's the number one problem that people have?" And she said that the number one problem with the people that write to her is anxiety. She says people are afraid of losing their health, they're afraid of losing their wealth, they're afraid of losing their loved ones. She said people are afraid of life itself. Huh. I've got a friend. We decided not to vote him off the island. I was talking to him once a few weeks back. My friend Mike is either high or low. When he's high, everybody laughs and enjoys life. When he's low, it's like one of Harry Potter's Death Eaters that sucks the life out of you. Can't hardly stand to be around him. Hope he never listens to this on WWWBLC Malmo. But one day he was telling me that he was worrying about the fact that he didn't have to worry, anything to worry about. He laid awake at night and went through. He says, "I'm really not worried or concerned about anything." And he says, "That makes me worry." You know anybody like that? Maybe some of you are like that. You worry over minor little things. As some unknown poet put it, it's the little things that bother us and put us on the rack. You can sit upon a mountain, but you can't sit upon a tack. It's the little things that get us tied up in knots. Usually little things that are easily fixable with time. Is that what's robbing you of your joy? I know the heaviness of this day as we think of the events of Connecticut, the little things, that puts our whole lives in perspective. Do you have any anxiety about your future? Today, Paul says, rejoice and don't worry. It was my grandma, I think, who first told me that God made the world round so that we'd never be able to see the end of the road. I don't know who she was reading, but I think that's true. We can't see down that road. That itself is cause of anxiety for some of us. And sadly, there is something within each one of us that causes us to look down that road and with fear rather than faith. I watched It's a Wonderful Life a few weeks back. If you haven't caught it, you should watch that. You know, it's the story about a young man, George Bailey, who dreams of traveling the world, doing great things, making his father proud of him, but none of his dreams are realized. He ends up trapped in a small town with a 2-bit savings and loan company, wondering whether his life is worth anything at all. Of course, he discovers that his life is very, very valuable because of the impact he's had on others. I saw an article that said this movie is much more popular now than it was back then. In 1946, the performance at the box office was a big disappointment, basically. But today, many, many people write it, and this author says maybe it's because of the resurgence of so many disappointed baby boomers in these days who feel like George Bailey, that their lives didn't turn out to mean much. They didn't turn out the way they had planned. They wanted to know that they mattered. They wanted to know that that they've done something worthwhile after all. They want reassurance that when all is said and done, their overriding feeling of their life having been lived wouldn't be a disappointment. And that article made sense to me. Is that the source of our anxiety, that your life ends up being a disappointment? Some people lose their joy because they're continually comparing their lives with others. And so they focus not on their blessings, but on their shortcomings. I was reading an article by a futurist in magazine The Week. You've heard me talk about The Week before. Best magazine on the market. They give me a nickel every time I mention it. Anyway, there's a futurist in there that said one possible downside of the internet is the development of what she calls comparative anxiety. She says the internet has created a network world that allows everybody to compare everything. How much money you're making compared to the people your age who graduated from the same college, that can cause you to think they got it better than me. They say everybody who's got kids or grandkids knows how many words their kid is using. You can get on the net and compare the language skills of everybody that same age with people around the world. And you think that you should have the smartest grandkids? I mean, I got people who are... we won't say go there. But that creates an epidemic of comparative anxiety. We don't have as much as anybody else. And so there's a national wave of insecurity that this futurist says can go on. Is that what's robbing you of your joy? Comparing yourself with others? There may be someone who's already worrying about a neighbor's child having more than their own, or a grandchild, or that Uncle Bob will be able to give their family more than you're going to be able to give your kids or grandkids. Comparative worry. No good. Some of you remember the comedian George Gobel. First service, everybody remembered. This service, some of you won't know who George Gobel was. He was a comedian back in the 50s and 60s. His nickname was Lonesome George. His signature phrase was, "Well, I'll be a dirty bird." Those of you who remember George Gobel, that was his line. Well, he told the story of Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello fame lived across the street from him in Hollywood. And Costello really got into the Christmas way. He set up thousands and thousands of light angels and Santa Clauses and lights and blinking and reindeer. And George Gobel said, He didn't do anything for Christmas. All he did was set up a sign that, said, "See our display across the street." Well, that's one way to deal with comparative anxiety at Christmas time, with humor. Are those the sorts of things that keep you, keeping you from rejoicing? Fear about the future? Fear that you don't measure up to others? Fear that you don't compare? You remember what the first thing the angel said to the shepherds watching over their flocks by night in the Christmas story? The first thing that the angel said to the shepherds was, "Fear not." And that's an important word today for us as we think about our Christmas celebrations, as we think about the events of this past week. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future with its uncertainties. Don't be afraid of all the uncertainties that are happening in our lives. God holds the future in His almighty hands. God will not let you down. God will be there when the world is throwing things your way that you can't hardly handle. And don't be afraid that somehow your life doesn't measure up, because God loves you just as you are. He loves you just as you are. First thing the angel said to the shepherds was, "Fear not." The second thing the angel said was, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy." Christmas was never intended to be a season of anxiety or worry. It was intended to be a season of joy. That's why St. Paul's word for the Philippians are so appropriate for this third Sunday of Advent, so appropriate for this week and the events that happened. And he says to us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Fear not," said the angel, "for behold, I bring you great tidings of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's the reason why we have light and hope during December's darkness, because a Savior is born. And here's how we can have internal joy in the midst of external despair, because a Savior is born. You heard the story of Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts is one of the most prolific hymn writers in the history of Christianity. When he was born, he was a sickly little infant. But as he grew up, he had this internal peace in the midst of truly difficult external circumstances. He barely lived through childhood. He had a troubled health-wise growing up time, but he became a pastor, and he was loved and appreciated, and his church grew, but his delicate condition with his health problems got him down, but he praised the Lord constantly. He ended up writing, when he couldn't visit, he would write notes of encouragement, and then he started writing hymns. In Isaac Watts' day, the music in the church, he said, I guess he didn't say this. I'll say this. It stunk up the place. Okay? They were just dirges. And there was no hope and no joy. And listen to how fast our last hymn is played this week. We've never heard this "Joy to the World" played this fast. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, he started writing music because the music was so bad, Isaac Watts did. He wrote over 600 hymns. And maybe the best hymn, the Christmas hymn that was his most outstanding piece, was "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Some authorities think that this is the greatest Christmas hymn ever written. Others think it's "Silent Night." We should take a vote one day. Anyway, Isaac Watts would be a good example for us to follow, because he never felt good health-wise. But he found joy in the Lord. He found reason to get up and get going. "Fear not," said the angel to the shepherds. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So in the midst of this terrible week, and as you think about all of your fears, don't worry about your future this Advent season. That's the message today. This is the greatest gift we can have. Don't worry about disappointing your family or disappointing your friends. Let them know you love them. If you don't do anything else this Christmas, let them know you love them. That's the greatest gift you can give your family. It's the greatest gift you can give your friends. That's the gift that God gave us in the stable of Bethlehem. In the words of St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering, and we'll ask the praise team to lead us in We Three Kings. It's in your blue books, hymn number 646.
And we'll just be singing the first, second verse, and the fifth verse.
646.
Please rise. Let's join in the offertory prayer found at the bottom of page 3. Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Filled with the expectation and longing, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. for your church, that it might rejoice in the Lord always, for our full communion partners, for our companion synods around the globe, for congregations in our neighborhood. Lord, in your mercy. For the earth, that it be renewed with love, for old growth forests and polar ice caps, for lakes and rivers, and for the place we call home. Lord, in your mercy. For all nations, that war and disaster cease, for countries recovering from famine or earthquake, and for people whose human rights have been violated, Lord, in your mercy. For those whose hands or hearts have grown weak, for the outcast, for those weighed down with shame, the dying and the sick, we especially lift up before you Bob Vorlachek, Wayne Olson, and others who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, for this gathering, for our congregational leaders, for those who with their prayers sustain our common life, that with John the Baptist we might proclaim the good news to everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy. We gather with heavy hearts this morning, Heavenly Father, and so we lift up the people in Newtown. Be with those who died. Thank you for the promise of everlasting life. We pray with those who mourn, family members and friends in that community. We pray for the first responders and firemen. We pray for the teachers and other children in all schools everywhere. Help them to know your love. Help them to give support and care. Help them to listen. And help us all to learn from this tragedy. As we grow close to your celebration of Christmas, we pray for those who travel. And we ask for a special time to be with all the families and friends who will worship and who will celebrate all this to be a special Christmas, knowing your joy is promised to us. We remember those who have died and now rejoice in your glory. Give us voices to sing your praise in every time and place. Lord, in your mercy, hear the prayers of your people, O God, and in your mercy grant us all we need. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. He came to give us forgiveness. He came to fill us with hope and joy. At that last meal, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the Lord's house. This morning we will use intinction, dipping the bread into the wine or the grape juice. We'll begin by serving this side and we'll follow it by this side. Please join in singing Silent Night as we receive. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 267, Joy to the World.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth rejoice. Found, but as the curse is found.